At the top of the show today, after years of being banned, a controlled wolf hunt is scheduled to start this November in Michigan. Opponents of the Upper Peninsula hunt were encouraged recently when they succeeded in securing a ballot proposal for next year that would again end hunting and trapping in the state. But that optimism was short-lived after Governor Rick Snyder signed a law giving the state's Natural Resources Commission the final say in the matter. The commission's support of a wolf hunt means a ballot proposal, regardless of its outcome, could be meaningless. In the latest twist, Michigan's five Indian tribes say they're looking at legal action to try and stop the hunt. And here to talk about why, as well as to give us an update on his tribe's proposed Keewaydin-Lansing Casino, is Aaron Payment, chairman of the Michigan Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians. Hi, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well. Glad to have you on the program here today. What exactly did you resolve at this meeting of the five tribes? Are you considering legal action, or are you definitely taking legal action?
I think at this point we're considering it, and the five tribes are the Chippewa Ottawa Resource Authority, and we exist pursuant to a federal consent decree related to our treaty rights and our natural resources, and we interface with the state, and so our goal is to provide science and our position with respect to using the natural resources of Michigan. And so we met actually on Thursday, and we discussed the actions of the state. And what we find most egregious is that this process moved so quickly, and in our consent decree it requires consultation with the tribes if there's any proposed hunt for additional species. And so several meetings were scheduled for public input. There was only one meeting scheduled for consultation. And when we attended that, we tried to impress upon the state the importance of the science behind the wolf hunt. And we believe all of our protestations fell on deaf ears, that irrespective of the science behind it, the legislature and they were hell-bent on creating this wolf hunt. What's really disturbing about it is that when an animal is on the endangered species list, typically when they're delisted, there's a 5-year wait period. That didn't happen in this case. It's been less than a year since they've been delisted, and there was this, you know, this barreling down the path to get this wolf hunt created. There isn't even really an issue to create this hunt.
So. Well, so your tribe and the four others say you were denied sufficient involvement in this decision to allow the wolf hunt. Yesterday, Michigan Department of Natural Resources Director Keith Cray said the state complied with the treaty. Here's what he had to say.
The tribes have been involved. They were part of the wolf management plan. They were at the table at that point in time. We greatly respect their authorities within their ceded territories, and will continue to refine the process over time.
Now, you maintain there was one meeting for consultations?
That's correct. There were several public meetings. Initially, there were public meetings, and I think the state thought that those would fulfill their obligation to consult with us. One of the meetings was actually scheduled when the tribal chairs were in Washington, D.C., meeting with the president. And so I don't know about the legitimacy of scheduling a meeting when we're not available. But there was one consultation in Higgins Lake, only one consultation. And in our position, and we had our scientists there, a biologist there, and he explained the nature of a wolf pack and what would work, what wouldn't work, and it didn't seem like anything that we had to say even mattered to them. And so we believe that consultation did not happen according to the way that we believe it should happen, and that is probably going to be the nature of the steps, which are mitigation, then arbitration, and potentially going back in front of a federal judge.
What is the science in your view? What does the science show?
The science, all right, so I'm not a scientist, so I'll make that part clear. We have our wildlife biologists that advise us of this, and the science behind it is that the population is not sufficient, even though it was delisted. It was not sufficient to create a wolf hunt. Population estimates don't suggest that there's a need to basically create a harvest I think they came up with 40 wolves out of the 700 wolves in the state of Michigan. And also, the approach is faulty because wolves travel in packs, and so killing one wolf doesn't necessarily affect the rest of the wolves. And, you know, the claim is that they're attacking livestock and threatening and endangered, children and all of this, and there is no documentation of any wolf attacks on humans. So the science is not there. The need is not there. And so this is basically what we call a social issue from the tribal perspective, and there's a desire for some hunters to want to have a trophy hunt. And I want to make it clear, tribes are hunters. It's part of our rite of passage for us to have our first kill, which is usually a deer. And so tribal members are hunters, and so I don't want to make a misrepresentation there, but there is no need to hunt the wolves. We don't eat the wolves. There's no danger with the wolves that is being propagated, and so we don't support that.
Well, there are farmers and property owners who no doubt have disagreed with that assessment. What you're saying, this is not happening, or it's not happening enough to justify a controlled wolf hunt?
One of the specific questions that we asked was, what is the incidence? And so the facts and data have been devoid through this whole process. We've asked these questions and they've not been responded to. So if there is a problem with wolves going on to personal farms and endangering livestock or killing livestock, right now there is a reward, basically like a financial reward that reimburses farmers if that happens. And so certainly we should be able to go and get that data and show what's the incidence of this. How frequently has this happened? And the state has not provided that information through any of the consultation processes. So if it really were a problem as they propagate, then they should be willing to stand behind the data, and they have not done that at all. And so, go ahead.
I read here that state wildlife officials tallied 658 wolves this past winter. The aim with this controlled hunt scheduled to start in November is to take only 43 of those. I mean, what relevance do those numbers have? Do those numbers mean anything to you, or is this a purely spiritual concern as far as the five tribes are concerned? Wolves are sacred and you just don't kill them.
Well, I will say that it is a cultural and spiritual issue for us. But aside from that issue, we don't eat wolves. We Native American people are hunters, and we hunt for sustenance. So we think it's legitimate to be able to hunt and kill if you're going to use the product and you're going to eat the results. But nobody eats wolves. And so the desire for this wolf hunt, in my perspective, is to create a trophy hunt. There's a desire to go out and kill wolves. And I don't believe that for the 40, I don't know how they come up with a number. I think that in a couple of years, if the number stays at 40, eventually the number will drop below and put it back on the endangered species list. So maybe that is the logical conclusion to this. But in the meantime, there's going to be a trophy hunt, and we don't support that. If there was some other reason, if there was some valid reason, some science behind this, then we would have to take our cultural reasons and be quiet. But we don't believe that it's purely a cultural or spiritual issue for us. It's a matter that the science is not there to sustain and warrant a hunt.
How many, you said, I believe there were four public meetings over this?
I think there were four public meetings, and there was one actually right in our territory, right in my community in St. Ignace. And that was one that was scheduled when the state knew that the tribal leaders were going to be meeting with the President of the United States in Washington, D.C.
My point is, a certain number of people who showed up at these public meetings, no doubt, were landowners and property owners and farmers who submitted instances where livestock was attacked by wolves. Or are you denying that these happen? You're simply saying that they don't happen often enough to justify the hunt.
Well, I'm not denying that they happen, but for those who it did affect, there's already a law in the books that allows them to be reimbursed and compensated for when that happens. And so, we have to be careful. Data is, you need broad data in order to make conclusions. Anecdotal data based on emotions, based on a few people showing up. And from what I understand from all of these public hearings that they've had, they had only a scattered number of people attend that supported the wolf hunt. In fact, the final meeting that they did have, the consultation meeting they had at Higgins Lake, had, I think the ratio was like 1 to 9. 9 people opposed, 1 person in support of. There is no broad-based support from the community, from the members and from the residents of Michigan to create this hunt. I think this is a manufactured issue by some hunting groups to affect legislators, and they're doing what they do. Politicians listen to whoever funds their campaigns. And I don't believe that this is an issue broadly for the state, and we're going to find out, because fortunately we were successful with the referendum. Now, the legislature and the governor can ignore the 250,000 signatures that were gathered. That would be a mistake going into an election cycle, but they can ignore those. But the residents of Michigan, the citizens, the voters, are going to be able to make their voice heard, and you're going to find out that there is no broad-based support to create a wolf hunt by the residents of Michigan.
You and other opponents are proceeding with the ballot proposal anyway, correct?
Absolutely. And one of the things, one of the misnomers that was put out there by the governor's office is that that these signatures were gathered by the Humane Society and that, you know, outside interest. And true enough, they did collaborate with us. And only 90,000 of the 250,000 signatures were gathered in that manner. The remaining signatures, 160,000 or so, were collected by average citizens.
In that manner, you mean with people who were affiliated with groups like, Sierra Club or animal rights groups, Humane Society? Is that what you
Correct.
Mean?
Oh, yes. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, they only collected a fraction of the signatures. Now, remember, normally you have 90 days or more to collect a signature at 60 days. And in 60 days, we were able to collect 250,000 signatures, the majority of those being collected by everyday citizens who do not believe that there's an issue in order to have a wolf hunt. And so what I think really what's dangerous for the legislature, we have a one-party government in Michigan right now, and the attempt to try to disenfranchise the signatures of the 250,000 voters in Michigan.
Well, now hold it. We've got a one-party government in Michigan right now. We've got a majority that is dominated by Republicans who were legally elected. We don't
That's
have a
correct.
one-party government in Michigan,
we have
right?
A house,
let's be
house,
clear.
We have a House and Senate and governor that are all of the same party.
Right now. Right now we do. That's true.
That's correct. And we don't have a balance. And I would caution, so I'm an elected official. I know how elections work. And I don't think anybody has the luxury of ignoring 250,000 citizens. And 250,000 citizens in Michigan signed this petition. There was an attempt to try to invalidate the signatures by backdating and assigning an appropriations. And then in the end, the governor pulled it out of the citizens' hands by creating a new authority, which I think potentially violates the consent decree, because the state doesn't have a unilateral decision over the natural resources in our ceded territory. We are a party to that. That's an offensive action. And so in the end, we're going to see what the citizens have to say. And I think, you know, the attempts of the legislature to do an end run around our right of referendum. So I'm also a Michigan resident. I'm a voter. And I take great offense to the legislature or the governor trying to invalidate my signature. I signed that petition.
Okay.
And it's our right to petition our government.
Okay. One other important detail. I mean, the wolf hunt would not take place on tribal land, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. I think that's an important detail that maybe we've overlooked up until this point. Let's move on a little bit here, because as long as we've got you on the phone, I'd like some kind of update on your tribe's pursuit of a Lansing casino. The last we heard in March, a district court judge granted Attorney General Bill Schuette's request for an injunction stopping the process that would prevent the land to be taken into trust for gaming. That's a legal precursor to operating a casino. Any news on a hearing and when it might take place, Aaron Payment?
The hearing, I think, is expected to be in July. But there are a couple of other actions that have happened subsequent to that that are related to the case.
Okay.
There's a case in Arizona for the Totem Tribe, and they basically have the same legislation language in the bill, the Land Claim Settlement Act, that we have that allows us to acquire land with our land claims funds. Basically, that's treaty money that was promised to us that we eventually got. And it allows us to acquire land and then that land to be held as Indian lands are held. those are all mandatory requirements from the federal government over the state, and the federal law supersedes state law. And so the tribe in Arizona has been battling it out for over 3 years, and they just won their latest case. And although it's in a different circuit court, circuit courts don't take precedence across courts, but they can look to it for advisory on how it might be ultimately affected in the Supreme Court. So that was a win for that tribe, and it might affect us.
Okay.
Also in Michigan, the Bay Mills tribe won the their injunction where the state did the same thing and tried to prevent them and their casino in Vanderbilt. And the circuit court granted basically overturned the injunction. And so I think all of those bode very well for us. And in the end, we're going to prevail because, again, the federal law allows us to do what we intend to do.
You were just tapped to serve on a committee that's part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Tell us more about that.
Yes, that I'm actually on my way out to Washington, D.C. I drive. I don't fly, so it's going to take a little while. But the purpose of this committee is to advise the Health and Human Services Secretary of issues that affect tribes for Head Start and also our health issues. And so I'm really proud to serve on that. I'm also proud because I'm a member of our Community Action Board that serves three counties in the Upper Peninsula, and we have programs that are affected by Health and Human Services. So I hope to have a broader approach and be able to affect policy and the monies that we're able to bring back to Michigan.
Aaron Payment is chairman of Michigan's Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians. Aaron, thank you very much.
Thank you.